On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Hey, everybody in podcast land, time for the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and we got a special show this time in respect to Kiss's last show last week in New York. We're going to make this an all-Kiss episode. Maybe not all-Kiss. We have a couple other things to throw in, but all of our bits are centered around Kiss, so... We've been Kiss fans for...
Ever,
yeah. I saw them, I was looking this up earlier, I saw them December 20th, 1977 at the Cap Center.
Ooh, and the Cap Center's not even there anymore, is it?
I don't think so. I don't know, but I haven't been there in so many years. But yeah, my dad and brother and I went to see Kiss, and AC/DC opened for them with Bon Scott. Man. Heck of a show.
Yeah, and at that time, AC/DC was kind of unknown.
Yeah.
Wow. My first Kiss show was Lick It. I had tickets to the Dynasty Tour in Germany, and it got postponed. But by the time they rescheduled it, I'd moved back to the States, so I missed that. So my actual first Kiss show was the Lick It Up Tour.
Wow.
With Vandenberg and Riot opening at the Long Beach Arena.
Jeez. All right.
That's when they played the songs 100 Miles an Hour with Vinnie Vincent playing. I thought it was great, but I guess Paul and Gene were not too happy. And soon enough, Vinnie was gone after that tour. So
yeah.
But I loved
soon
it.
Soon enough. But, yeah, Vinnie definitely could handle it. I think he was a bit more flashy than what they were looking for. Plus, they have all kinds of personality issues with him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think Vinnie has beef with a lot of people. But that's for another show, possibly.
Possibly.
So, yeah, we're going to dedicate this mostly to Kiss because, yeah, we thought Kiss was kind of our entry drug into hard rock and heavy metal.
And, absolutely.
We're still fans, even though we don't really love the stuff they do nowadays. But we are huge fans of the 70s and 80s stuff. So.
Yep.
So,
big time.
So we're going to start this off with a Kiss-related rapid fire right now.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
All right, here we go. We're going to play some rapid fire, all Kiss related questions. Please play along at home or at work or in your mom's basement or in your truck or wherever the heck you are in the world.
And see if you Kiss fans can get 6 out of 6.
And we've been looking at the geolocations, and people are listening in Finland, the Philippines, Australia, Canada, all over the place. So thank you for listening. Good luck. You got to see if you can go 6 for 6. Danny, question number one.
All right.
What Kiss song caused the Alice Cooper Corporation to sue the band because one of their songs sounded way too much like I'm 18? Name the song.
Oh, man. My first thought is, and it doesn't really sound like it, but I'm going to say Christine 16.
Christine 16. Not even in the universe. That is incorrect. The song is a lesser-known song off of Psycho Circus. The song is called Dreaming. And if you're listening to it, it sounds like the exact same chord progression.
Oh, geez.
So I guess somebody in their camp, not Alice himself, but somebody in their camp said, oh, this sounds way too much like it. So they went to court on it, and Alice Cooper won. So
nice.
I guess they probably gave him a writing credit or gave him a couple of bucks or something. I don't know. Probably wasn't something enormous, because that's not an enormous Kiss song. But, yep, Dreaming is what caused the Alice Cooper Corporation to sue Kiss.
And I don't know that I've heard that song, but
It's not
like we said, we're not huge Kiss fans from the 2000s.
Yeah, and Psycho Circus, it's on there, but it's nothing that you, it's not that memorable. It's a deep track. And
yeah.
Once you hear it and you've heard this story, you'll know, oh, I get it. Okay, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right, question number one for you. What was the first Kiss video to be played on MTV?
A World Without Heroes.
That is correct.
It's like a world without sun. Yep, that's the first one.
Not exactly the rock and Kiss song that you would think, but yeah, that's from The Elder.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, MTV came out in 81 and The Elder came out in 81, so that's the first one they played. So
yeah.
I wonder what the second one. I'm going to guess the second one could be I Love It Loud. I don't know. It's just a guess. All right.
Probably. That would make sense, but who knows.
Okay, here you go. Question number two. What Kiss song appears on a Kiss studio album and one of the Kiss 78 solo albums?
The Kiss live album?
No. What Kiss song appears on a Kiss studio album and appears on one of the four solo albums from 78?
I think it's Fractured by Ace.
Does Fractured appear on a Kiss album?
I think it does.
Nope. Incorrect.
Dang it.
See You in Your Dreams. It's on Rock and Roll Over and Gene's solo album.
Gene, what? Don't be so lazy. Write a new song.
And hit Gene's version is much worse. I mean, the Kiss. I like the Kiss version on Rock and Roll Over, but Gene's threw in some female background singers, and it blows.
Ugh. His... I can't decide if his or Peter's is the worst solo album.
Oh, I got it. Peter's is the worst.
Yeah, well,
Gene has some good songs and some absolute garbage. So Peter's is all garbage, unfortunately.
All garbage all the time. Yeah. Ace's is awesome.
Yeah, and Paul's is too. So
yeah,
2 out of 4 ain't bad.
No. All right, so question two for you. What kind of cancer did Eric Carr die from?
You want a body part or?
Yep.
It's probably not lung. I'm going to probably colon cancer.
Nope. Incorrect. It was heart cancer.
Ooh, that's brutal. No wonder it didn't make it. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be very survivable.
Yeah. I mean, certain ones, you got a shot at it, but that one.
Well, lung cancer, you can remove part of the lung. I don't know how much of your heart you can remove.
Yeah. That's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Eric. Such a great dude, too.
Yeah. Great, great drummer.
Yeah. All right. Question number three. All right.
Kiss let's fans. See if I can get one of these.
Kiss fans, these are probably going to be easy for you guys. The hardcores have probably gotten all these right so far.
Probably.
All right. This one you might get right. I don't know. All right. How many cover songs has Kiss put out between the years 1973 to 1977? That's basically the first album through Dynasty, not including the solo albums. Or a song written by somebody else, but it didn't really appear on somebody else's album. And the example of that is King of the Nighttime World was written by somebody else, but the song never appeared on anybody's major label. So don't you discard that song. So how many legitimate cover songs did they have? 73 to 79.
That were released.
That were released on an album.
Okay. I'm going to say 8.
8. Wow. Not even close.
Good God.
Answer is 4. And I'll give you the album and see if you can remember. It's probably been a long time since you've delved into some of these albums. All right, the first one appeared on the first Kiss album. It was recorded by Bobby Rydell in 1959 on the first Kiss album. And it was actually their first single, I believe. It was a single, but it was never a hit.
Oh, man, I don't know what song that is.
Kissin' Time.
Really?
Because any time is a kissin' time. You remember that one now?
Yeah.
USA. All right, the next one that popped up was, oh, God, I'm getting my orders mixed up. Oh, I think this is on Love Gun. It's the last song on Love Gun. It was recorded by the Crystals in 1963.
I know they did Do You Love Me, but I don't know if it was. Is that it?
Nope. That's on.
Dang it.
That's, well, you. Then She Kissed Me.
Oh, yeah. Then I actually like that song.
She kissed me in a way that I've never been kissed before.
Yeah, no. I like that. I like that song.
All right, the next one was on Alive 2, and it's one of the studio tracks.
Alive 2. I'm going to say Any Way You Want It.
Yep, recorded by the Dave Clark 5. Last one is on Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Dynasty. And Ace sings it.
Oh, man, I can't think of it.
Danny's coughing. He muted himself. He's coughing his brains out. He'll be back in a second.
I can't think of what.
He sings.
I can't think of it.
He's 2000 Man.
Oh, that's right.
Rolling Stones.
Stone songs, right?
Yep. So those are the four covers. So Danny, you went 0 for 3 in your Kiss knowledge.
Yeah.
I guess you haven't listened to Kiss in a while.
Yeah, really? Not the old stuff?
No, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's see if you can get my last one. This one's going to be hard.
All right.
How much are each of the four original members worth now?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, smart guy. What's the matter? You don't know your Kiss trivia?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, so, this is out there.
So should I go from the poorest one to the richest one? I don't have a clue what these guys are worth. Is it just you looked it up and it says their net worth, like they own property or whatever?
Yeah, there's a website called Celebrity Net Worth.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say Peter's worth $10 million. Am I even close?
About half that.
No, he's $5 million. Peter's $5 million. I'm going to say Ace is $8
million. No, Ace is worth $1
million. Wow, Ace is...
I find that hard to believe.
Well, maybe he's... Yeah, who knows?
Right. Maybe he's not very good with his money or whatever. But
all right, I'm going to say Gene and Paul are each worth $50
million. No, way, way more. Paul is worth $200 million.
Wow.
Gene's double that.
400.
Gene's worth $400 million.
Wow, that's so Gene's worth $400 million
and Ace is worth one.
Wow.
You can see why there might be a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah, so imagine... Well, there is attitude because they did the pay-per-view on the last Kiss show, and they performed Beth, but on the rebroadcast, see, you can do, they cut out Beth because Peter owns the rights to Beth, and he declined to give Kiss the rights to rebroadcast.
Really?
So they can only perform it live, and that's it. So yeah, that's guess that was Peter's FU to you guys. You don't want to pay me for to use my song, can't use it.
Yeah, no, you can't.
And when Peter and Ace left Kiss, they Gene and Paul paid for the rights to make face paint and makeup. If those two would have held on to their rights, they could have made so much money.
Oh yeah, if Kiss had wanted to, you got to wonder if Gene and Paul would continue to use that.
Probably not.
You know, if they go with the Fox and the Ankh Warrior or, you know, what other characters.
Right.
Or maybe Bruce Kulick wouldn't have even agreed to do makeup.
But Bruce Kulick was never in makeup.
Right. He may not have ever agreed to do it. Yeah. If they decided, hey, we're going to go back and do makeup like they did, Bruce was never involved in that.
Yeah, so maybe if Ace and Peter held on to their stuff, Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer would have different face paint makeup, probably.
Yeah.
Probably the route they would have went, which I would have thought was wonderful, but they wanted to stick to their ways. I don't know. They didn't listen to the fans. Oh, well.
Yeah, so I wonder how this this Avatar thing is going to go.
Oh my God! I think
I'm not gonna do. I will have nothing to do with it.
No, I think if Kiss records new music, I would listen to it for sure. Do I want to go see an Avatar in concert? Not a chance in hell. I don't want to see anything like that, those projectors of, you know.
No.
I don't. I have no interest. I know ABBA's making money, and they did it, but they do their avatars. They play with a band.
Right.
But these thing avatars, it looks like movie, a comic book movie. I'm like, come on, guys. Stop.
Yeah, just let it go. If you're going to retire, just retire. We don't need KISS forever. They don't seem to agree with that.
Well, they're going
to
try. Hey, they tried the indoor arena LA KISS football team, so they're going to try anything to make money.
Yeah, well, Gene seems to be doing all right.
Yeah, some of the ideas are doing fantastic. Some of them aren't. But no, I could care less about an avatar. Give me some music if you want to. And if Gene wants to grab a band together and tour and do his songs, yeah, I'd be up for that. Or if Paul wants to do a solo tour, yeah, I'd be up for that. That'd be cool. But
I bet Paul will do that blues breaker thing.
No, it's Soul Station.
Soul Station, yeah.
And whatever. It was pretty good. He had some great musicians backing him up. So, yeah, that he did.
Oh, yeah. The band was killer.
Yeah, so that stuff sounded pretty cool. And I've seen Gene perform with this band that usually Ace plays with. They both play the same guys. And doing KISS songs and stuff. Sounds great. Ace, same thing. Have you heard Ace's new song?
No.
10,000 Volts?
Nope.
Not bad. It's not. He got together with Steve Brown from Trickster, and I guess they wrote a bunch of songs.
So, no, that's cool.
So Ace, I think half of them are with Steve Brown. Steve Brown's a pretty good songwriter, so.
Yeah, and he's a huge KISS fan.
Yep, so I got high hopes. I'm hoping they're good. But, yeah, this sounds like kind of classic KISS, the 10,000 Volts. It's pretty much what you expect from Ace. But
yeah.
It's catchy. Not bad, so.
Okay.
Hopes are high.
Well, since he's only worth $1 million, I hope it goes well for him.
Yeah, so we need to support Ace a little bit. We had no idea he was struggling so much. Ooh.
Yeah, barely making it.
Yeah, okay. And on that note, we're gonna go to commercial break real fast and come back with a concert review of Skid Row and Buck Cherry at the Fonda Theater in Los Angeles.
Nice.
All right, boys and girls in podcast land, we are back. All right, before we get to our Skid Row Buck Cherry review, I saw a documentary that I rented on Prime, and I think it's on Netflix too. It's called Triumph Rock and Roll Machine. Came out in 2020. Did you see that, Danny?
I did not.
Yeah, I wasn't a super huge Triumph freak, but I was.
I wasn't either.
I like some of their songs for sure, but I watched it. And it's very entertaining. The guys in the band come off as normal dudes, no egos. It goes through their whole career and what they're doing now, and it's entertaining and made me kind of appreciate Triumph a little more than maybe I did.
Yeah. They talk about, like, they don't get along together anymore, do they?
They do now.
Do they?
They get to the point where one guy leaves, and they said why he left, and why they kind of had problems, and how they started, and how they reconciled. It's a nice story.
Okay.
So, worth seeing. I think I rented it for $4.99 on Prime, so. If you like Triumph a little bit, watch it. It's pretty good. Makes me want to go back and check, even check out the last album they did with Phil X on guitar.
Oh, really?
Rick Emmick's the one who left, and Phil X is the one who replaced him.
Jeez.
Interesting that he replaced Rick Emmett and Triumph and Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, huh?
Yeah, exactly, because those guys did a lot of singing.
And that tells you that Phil X does not suck.
No. No, he absolutely doesn't.
Yeah, so it's worth watching, okay? And yesterday, I marched my butt down to Hollywood. A little scary at night there, I got to tell you. All right, I went to the Fonda Theater. Never been to this place before. It's on Hollywood Boulevard between Vine and Gower. It's literally a block from Amoeba Music. So I went to Amoeba Music first. First thing I see, 3 cop cars blocking the street, arresting somebody. It's like, okay, well, it's Hollywood, so. Lots of scary things happen there, especially homeless issues, lots of crime. Yeah, it's not a place you really want to hang out. So I had to avoid that old police situation. Went into Amoeba. Amoeba's always cool. When Danny gets out of here, I'll take him there. It's one of these giant record stores. They got books, music, T-shirts, memorabilia. Cool. It's awesome. You can spend 5 hours in this place. It's amazing.
I have no doubt we would do that.
Yeah, if we were in our 20s like we used to, we would. Nowadays, maybe I can pull off an hour now. It's like, I got to go. My feet are killing me. Got to go.
Yeah, my hips hurt. I can't be away from a bathroom that long.
Yeah, so. So after that, I drove over to park at the Fonda Theater. Was not happy. I parked right next to the theater, which was good. The good news was it was right next to it. The bad news, it was $40 to park.
Jeez.
So I sucked it up and paid $40 to park. So
all right.
I should have probably, well, again, Hollywood's not that safe, so it's probably a good idea to do that. I could have parked maybe 5 blocks away and gotten mugged, so who knows.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, because the guy I asked to go, well, my wife was out of the country, so she didn't go. And the guy I normally hang out with concerts, he was in Detroit for a wedding, so I decided, what the heck, I'm going to go see. I haven't seen Skid Row with Eric on vocals, and I had never seen Buck Cherry, so why not?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've seen Skid Row a couple times, but always with Sebastian.
Yeah, and Buck Cherry I've always liked, just never really seen them. So go to this place, the Fonda Theater. It holds 1,200 capacity.
Wow, okay. Small place.
Yeah, well, not really. It's a 31,000 square foot building. It's pretty much the same size building as the Keswick Theater, because the Keswick Theater is only 1,300 capacity.
Okay.
And the difference between these two places is the Keswick Theater has the seats built in the bottom.
Yeah.
And the Fonda Theater took them all out. But they have a balcony, same as the other place. Very similar. Let me see. Oh, the Fonda Theater opened in 1926.
Jeez, okay.
And I believe the Keswick Theater opened in 1928. So you get the gig. Old places, old theaters, both have balconies. Cool places to see a show, though. I've never been to this place. So I get there for Buck Cherry, get really close to the stage. I'm probably like one person from the barrier, you know, where the photo pit is and the stage. Yeah. So I'm super close. The negative part to this was the sound for Buck Cherry was not that great because the speakers that are overhead are behind you. So we're in front. So I'm hearing the drums and I'm hearing the vocals, but I'm really not hearing, you know, I'm not hearing it from the mic. You have to go back to hear the full power of the band, which I didn't know at the time. So I stayed in front for Buck Cherry. But the sound wasn't that great because of where I was standing.
Right. You were too close.
Yeah, too close. So I learned my lesson for Skid Row. I moved back after them. But Buck Cherry was surprisingly really good.
Oh, yeah. I like them a lot.
I mean, live, talk about an entertaining band to watch. They are all over the place. The lead singer can sing his ass off. He's not one of these guys who's lost it in any way. Nope.
Right.
This guy's in shape. He can sing. He sounds better live than he does on the albums.
Jeez.
The band is great. When they do their vocals, all four of them are singing the background vocals together. Nothing piped in at all. These guys are really singing and really playing straight-ahead rock. And, of course, there's the occasional songs about sex, which seems to be about half of them.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of F words in some of these songs. So if you're a little squeamish or you don't, you know, you're a little too conservative, don't go see Buck Cherry. But if you like it a little rowdy and singing about sex songs, this is the band up your alley. next time I'm going to see them, I'm going to go a little further back so I can hear them better.
Yeah.
But good God, they were good. All right. I'll tell you some of the songs they played. You put the ones you know. I know they did. I don't know all their. I don't know them that well, but I know the songs they did. I did know. Lit Up, they started with. Too Hot, a song called Gluttony, which was great. Sorry. Somebody effed with me. Riding. They actually did a song, a Christmas song called Tell 'Em It's Christmas. And they finished with what song do you think they finished with?
Crazy Bitch.
Correct. And the crowd went bonkers for that one.
Oh, of course.
But it's cool with this particular song is during this song, they go into a breakdown and they introduce each guy in the band. But while they're doing that, they throw in some interesting choices. So when they're doing it, and they start to introduce the band, they break into Sex Machine.
Okay.
By James Brown. So they're right. doing that in the breakdown, and they introduce the first guy. Then they go into Donna Summer's Bad Girls. I know, and it seems weird, doesn't it? But it works because they're doing kind of a funk thing. It's because the song kind of has got a funk feel to it. So they're bringing in these songs. And then they bring in, then they did, I forgot, one other song in Proud Mary they did. But the more the Tina Turner version than the Creedence Clearwater version. And, and then they finished with the song. But it was very entertaining, very energetic. The singer, Josh Todd, can sing. Go see him if you get the chance, especially in a, because they usually play either small theaters or clubs.
Yeah, I'd like to go see him.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll play around you because they're always touring. It's one of these bands that never goes off the road. I mean, they've been touring with Skid Row, and then they go jumping on some other tour with some other band right after that, and they just go constant. Awesome.
We, my band used to get requested to play Crazy Bitch, and I'd be like, we just played Jimmy Buffett. What makes you think we're going to whip out Crazy Bitch right now?
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, you want jobs because some of the clubs would, or wherever you're playing, they're not going to handle that song.
Nah, no. So, yeah, there's a time and place for that song, and a bar where there's families eating dinner and all that kind of stuff is not the place.
Yeah, in terms of attendance, it was pretty full. I don't think it was completely full because they actually played Anaheim, which is about 45 miles away about 2 days prior. So
okay.
They play Anaheim and Los Angeles. Generally, that doesn't normally happen with tours, but it did for this one. But it was pretty full. It was full for Buck Cherry, and it was full for Skid Row, so people didn't leave. So that was a good sign. Let's go.
That's a good bill. I mean, that's not one where the opener is like, who? I might know one song, but...
Yeah, and both bands played...
That's a good bill.
Both bands played about a little over an hour. So they didn't have one band playing 30 minutes and the other band playing an hour and a half. It was pretty even. It was definitely one of those, a double headline bill. Both bands played all their songs in a little over an hour.
Nice.
So Skid
That's
Row.
That's what you want to see.
So Skid Row, I was excited to see because I've seen Skid Row with Sebastian. They were freaking great when they had Sebastian.
Absolutely.
I saw them with Johnny. They were good. Pretty good, but not great. So I was thinking, okay, are they going to be great or pretty good? Well, I can tell you right now, with Eric Grunwald, they were freaking great.
Oh, nice.
The energy. Eric can sing all the early Sebastian stuff just as good. There's no difference. He can hit all the notes, and he hits all the notes. Sebastian, unfortunately, nowadays can't hit those same notes. And Sebastian, part of Sebastian's thing, too, also, he's a great, great singer, and he was super entertaining on stage. Eric Grunwald. Same thing.
That's nice.
Super entertaining, super energetic, engaged, runs around, and hits all the notes. So fantastic. Set list, started with Slave to the Grind. Can't go wrong there.
No, that seems to be their main starting song.
Yeah, so listen to the songs. Slave to the Grind, Into Big Guns, Into 18 in Life, Into Peace and Me, Living on a Chain Gang. Then they only did three new songs, which was Resurrected, Back to Riot Act. Then they did Time Bomb from the new album, I Remember You, Monkey Business, The Gang's All Here, and Youth Gone Wild.
Nice.
I mean, like,
so they only did like three albums, the new one and then the first two.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
You know, because the set list, you know, a little over an hour. Now, if they would have played an hour and a half, I'm sure they would have thrown in other stuff. But the new songs fit in perfectly with the old songs. But my God, Riot Act Live is so good.
I love that song.
See if you know this one. And they just, they hit you over the head. I mean, most of the songs are pretty fast. So, yeah, they were heavy. The band sounds great. Oh, firing on all cylinders. Get a chance to see Skid Row. If you get the chance, go. Eric is the real deal. And the new album is damn good. So,
I've listened to it two or three times, and it really is good.
Two thumbs up for me. Definitely go check either band.
Nice.
I'd go see either one tomorrow. That good. So.
Awesome.
There's my review of Skid Row and Buckcherry.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know if they've come on the East Coast yet, but I'd like to go see them if they haven't yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about Skid Row, but they might be cycling down for a while. Who knows? But Buckcherry, yeah, sometime they're going to be around you. So I don't know.
Nice.
Bring Tony and his sons. I think they would. I think that's a rowdy band to see. Oh my God.
They'd probably be into it.
They would. They're a super physical band. You know,
they'd probably be into that a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely worth seeing. So now what we're going to do, we're going to change gears. We're going to go back into Kiss mode, and we're going to do something called, we haven't done in a while. It's called Top 3, Bottom 3.
Yeah, this has been a while since we did anything like this. We should resurrect this because I like doing these.
And so what we did with this top three, bottom three, sometimes we'll do an album and do our top favorite songs and the top, you know, the worst ones. It's a lot like somebody's doing their list, but this is this one we specifically designed. And I don't think this one has been copied yet by somebody else, but there's some similar out there, but we just do it our little spin. And our little spin on this thing with Kiss is, these are all Kiss songs that were like bonus tracks or extra studio tracks on a Live 2 or songs that only appeared on a music soundtrack.
So, or new songs on a Greatest Hits album.
Yeah, true. So yeah. I think when we popped up our list, we came up with like 17 of them.
Yeah.
And some of them I hadn't really heard that much and I wasn't too familiar with. Let me see. I could probably go down the whole list here. Let me pull this up. So, because some of you people won't even know these songs. Now, the ones from Alive 2, they're going to know for sure. So here's the list of songs that we're going through. All American Man, Rockin' in the USA, Larger Than Life, Rocket Ride, In Any Way You Want It, on Alive 2. Off of Killers, which was only released in Europe, I believe, and maybe Japan. They were fourth studio tracks on a Greatest Hits, basically. I'm a Legend Tonight, Down on Your Knees, Partners in Crime, and Nowhere to Run.
Now, I found those four on a bonus disc for Creatures of the Night.
Yeah, that was later on. But initially, yeah, they were all on Killers for sure. Yeah. So, and off of Smashes, Trashes, and Hits, there was two new songs. Let's Put the X in Sex and You Make Me Rock Hard.
No theme to those at all, but...
Yeah, I think, probably written on the same day. Psycho Circus has one Japanese bonus track, and that's called In Your Face, which is an Ace song.
Written by Gene, though.
Yeah. Off of the Detroit Rock City soundtrack, there's a song called Nothing Can Keep Me From You. And then there's a Ramones tribute album, came out in 2003, where they covered Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio? Off of 2012's Monster, there's an iTunes bonus track, which I wasn't familiar with. It's called Right Here, Right Now, off of Monster. Didn't know that.
It's not the Van Halen song.
No, not even close. No. Off of the 2014 Art of McCartney album, which is a tribute album to Paul McCartney, Kiss did Venus and Mars Rock Show. And then there was one from the Scooby-Doo movie, which is a joke song called Don't Touch My Ascot, which is...
Yeah, it's like a big band, and each of the four guys sing a verse, and it's horrible.
It is bad. So we didn't include that one. All the other ones we did include, and I was really more familiar with the earlier ones.
Yeah.
Especially the Killers and the Live 2 ones. So what we're going to do is we're going to give our three favorites and our three least favorites. And we're going to start, Danny's going to start with number three, his best ofs. So
all right.
What do you have at number three?
Number three, I have the song In Your Face off of Psycho Circus. But you want to be in your place.
Safe.
I hadn't really heard that song before, but you can totally tell it's a Gene riff, and then Ace starts singing. So I looked it up to make sure that that's what it was. But great song, killer riff, and I've always liked Ace's singing.
So why didn't they include that one on the album and take off some of those other?
Because I don't.
Psycho Circus has a couple of crap songs.
Oh yeah, they really do. I don't know why they put the. Maybe they didn't want to give Ace too much.
Yeah, he's got two lead vocals and he shares vocals on "You're One of the Best, You Got the Best." I don't. Yeah, because it was more of a Gene Paul dictating what happened with the. I don't even know if Ace played that much on it. So.
Yeah, I think that was more of a Bruce album.
Yeah, I think initially when I listened, I think yeah, well, I could have. We just put "In Your Face" should have been on there, and they should have pulled something else. Like
oof. Yeah.
I think within I would have pulled like, oof, I hate that song. But yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see that being in the top three.
Yep.
It's not my top three, but I can
see. My number two.
Or you want me to do? You want to do your?
You go ahead and do yours if you want to.
Okay, my number three is off of Killers, and it's the first track on there. "I'm a Legend Tonight." And I know that a part of you. I think that could have been on any Kiss album. I think it was probably written after the Elder Sessions and going in between, almost going into Creatures. I love that. I love that song. I was like, God, that should have been a single.
Yeah. I listened to those four songs, and they all sounded so familiar. I mean, so similar to each other. And so I couldn't really pick out. So I didn't pick out anyone. I don't dislike any of the four. "I'm a Legend Tonight," "Down on Your Knees," "Partners in Crime," and "Nowhere to Run."
Yeah.
I couldn't pick one that was so much better than any other. So I like all of them. So they were probably like four through 10, or I would say.
Yeah. They're all Paul songs. They were all written. They sound like they were written in the same week.
Yeah, exactly. Paul was in a certain mood, and you could almost change the lyrics from song to song and be like, okay,
"My Partners in Crime" got stuck in my head for 3 days. "I have a Partners in Crime."
Yeah.
You know, the bass slide, "Partners in Crime," yeah.
What? Kiss bass slide? What?
Gene likes to go up and down.
He does.
Yep. So that one stuck in my head. So,
All right,
my three was "A Legend Tonight." So what's your number two?
My number two is "All American Man" off of Alive 2. Love that song.
That's a good one.
I really like that song a lot. I don't know that I've listened to it in the last 20 years, so when I was listening to it for this bit, I was like, oh, what a great song.
And what a great song that could... I don't know if they ever played that live as a band. I know they played it on the cruises and stuff like that, but that's such a killer song. You could just hear that as a... That should
be absolutely.
You know, surprisingly, that's not on my top three list. But it easily could have made it depending on how I was feeling, because I love that song.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you there, totally, 100%.
All right.
My number two is going to be a surprising one. It's a cover. Oh. It's the Ramones cover, "Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio?"
Wow. Okay.
I love the Ramones version, and I thought Kiss stepped it up and knocked it out of the park for me. So you don't agree, do you?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, okay.
We'll see where we go from here.
Oh, okay. Well, that could be a little foreshadowing of things to come, huh?
A number two for you. Okay.
It's my two favorite. But you know what? it could easily be All-American, man, too, because I love that song, too. There's some ones I really like, and I just happen to think, oh, I'll throw that in there. I don't think Danny's going to pick that one as one of his favorites. So,
no.
Yeah.
I did not.
So I could have picked. Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite?
My number one, and I won't be surprised if you pick this also, but my number one is Rocket Ride. Alive 2.
You think I picked Rocket Ride, don't you?
Yeah, you could have. I love that song. I love the riff. You know, the beginning part where they're just playing notes going up like a rocket, you know, that's kind of corny, but the main riff of the song is so cool. I play it all the time, you know, when I'm just messing around. I love that song.
Well, Danny, you think you know me that well? I just picked the Ramones cover as my number two. My number one is Rocket Ride.
There you go. See?
Baby wants a flash. Baby wants a flash. She wants a rocket ride. She wants a rocket ride. Baby wants a flash. Baby wants a flash. She wants a rocket ride. She wants a rocket ride.
Yeah. And so a lot of people don't remember that was actually a single. And I think it almost made the top 40. It might have. I'm not sure. It might have made like 38. But I didn't go back and research it because I did all these questions today. But I know it was a single for sure. And
I know Ace plays it sometimes in his set.
He should play it every time. That song,
every time.
That song rules.
Yeah. Such a great song.
Yeah. So, yeah. In fact, I'm going to listen to it after this show.
So we should just go ahead and play it right now.
So we just gave you our top three. And now the fun begins. We're going to give you our bottom three. This is where the Kiss fans get mad at us.
Yeah, well, I originally had Don't Touch My Ascot as the bottom. The number's the worst song. But then I realized that's not included in this because it's a throwaway song.
Yeah, it could have easily been mine. That's why I said, yeah, we can't include that because that's too easy.
Yeah, it's way down. But I had a lot of really good songs. You know, some of these easily could have been my number three, like that Venus and Mars rock show. I didn't know Kiss did it. And I knew it was a Paul McCartney song, and I love that song. And Kiss's version is really good.
I agree. I love it.
Yeah, and I like that Right Here, Right Now, but it's one of these Kiss songs that is, you know, I cannot stand the God Gave Rock and Roll to You, and I'm going to stand up, and these are my rights to rock and roll, and all that bullshit. Oh, so awful. But anyway.
Sounds forced, doesn't it?
It does. We're here to rock and roll because that's what this rock and roll life is all about.
We're a community.
God. Yeah. Come on.
Rah-rah. So you don't like rah-rah songs?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
So that's our bottom three here. Here we go.
Our bottom three here. Not my worst, but the second, third to worst, I guess, is the cover Any Way You Want It off Alive 2.
It's all right. 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 So any way you want it, that's the way it will be.
Hate it.
Yeah. Any way you want it.
Yeah.
You don't. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. So
yeah. Anyway.
You could see them do. You could see you playing the cover band doing that live. That would kind of get people dancing, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't need it as a studio version on Alive 2, especially right after Rocket Ride. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I think one of the band, maybe Gene and Paul or whoever loved that song in the '60s, and they just decided to do it. Yeah, probably. It's a weird cover.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen that, but. Like you said, they probably liked it back in the '60s when they were growing up. And thought, oh, I love this song. Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't hate it, but I can easily put it in the. If I had a top 10 worst, it would be there for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Number three for me comes off of Smashes, Trashes, and Hits. All right. And you know, when I listened to it, I thought this was going to be my number one. But I actually gave this a couple spins, and it didn't make my number one. And the only reason it didn't...
The number one worst?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the my third worst. Is I think the pre-chorus is the only thing in this song that's actually decent. But the chorus is horrendous. The name of the song is You Make Me Rock Hard. Oh. So there was a little glimmer of hope in the pre-chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But the other 75% of the song is horrific. Why they included this on a greatest hits? Yeah, it's in the song number 3 on the Smashes, Trashes, and Hits. It sucks.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Oh, so you agree with me there. Okay.
Well, that's actually my next song.
Oh, it's your number 2?
My number 2 worst song is You Make Me Rock Hard. And you could almost put Let's Put the X in Sex in there as well.
Okay.
To me, they're the same song. I think he may have been left with a chubby and thought, well, I need to write about this. So he wrote the Let's Put the X in Sex and You Make Me Rock Hard.
You know what I think? I know if the Let's Put the X in Sex, I know Desmond Child was part of that. I'm wondering if Desmond Child is a co-write on You Make Me Rock Hard. I bet you they had a writing session and those are the two songs they came out with. But you
wanna, I bet it. I'm going to look that up as we're talking.
I'm not sure because I don't want to throw out any erroneous information, but which hasn't stopped us in the past. But yeah, oof. So yeah. So let's see if we're right here.
Let's see here. Let's Put the X in Sex was Paul Stanley and Desmond Child.
Okay.
You Make Me Rock Hard, Paul Stanley, Desmond Child, and Diane Warren.
Wow, Diane Warren. You know what Diane
Holy
Warren's
moly.
About? Diane Warren's going to come up as my number 2 songwriter. You know that, right? I haven't told you that. Diane Warren is a multimillionaire just as a songwriter. She's written a lot of great songs.
Oh, yeah.
Did she write You Don't Want to Miss a Thing for Aerosmith? She did, didn't she?
Yep. Okay. She wrote that. She wrote Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge. She wrote If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher.
You know,
Love Me by Celine Dion.
She has her own building in Hollywood. Just that's like Warren something. She's made that much money.
She has How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes.
Jeez.
Holy moly.
All right, so here's the theme. You ready for my number 2?
Yeah.
It's off of the Detroit Rock City soundtrack. Nothing Can Keep Me Away From You. Written by Diane Warren.
Wow. Yeah.
And when I listen to this, I'm thinking, this is a sappy ripoff of You Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. Well, the same person wrote these two songs, and Aerosmith got the good song, and Kiss got the sappy, crappy song.
They probably went to Diane and said, hey, we need a song. So she took Don't Want to Miss a Thing, took the music, the actual paper, the music on it, turned it over. And said, here you go.
She's a hit machine. Yeah, we're going to throw some strings on this, and it's going to be just the successful. Kiss has always been they were leaders in the beginning, and sometime around Dynasty, they became followers. They tried to follow trends.
Did the disco trend because, you know, Paul talks about, we were really big. Disco came out and all the songs, so I started listening, and the beats are 120 beats a minute, so I said, okay, we need to have a song with 120 beats a minute. Oh, come on. Seriously? And then the bass is just octaves, so you just play octaves on the bass and the 120 beats a minute, and you got a song.
Yeah, and then they followed the hair band stuff. They copied that.
And then the bench.
Yeah, they got heavy there, but then Carnival Souls is their grunge album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're followers.
They
should have stuck to their guns and just did what they did and forget. Don't listen to anybody else. Be leaders and have everybody else started to follow you, and then you guys changed.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But we still like your band, though. But and you know what? The Detroit Rock City movie was fantastic. And they had the chance to put out a killer rock song on that soundtrack. And no, they did a Diane Warren ballad. I'm like, you guys are shitting me. I can't believe you did this. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's your number one? Because I'm curious if we have the same song. I'm about to, go ahead.
Well, from what we said before, one of your top was the Ramones tribute. That's my number one worst.
Oh, you hate that one.
What? I can't stand it. I love the Ramones version. I love it. But then, you know, I don't like the horns. The whole thing just, ugh.
Well, there are horns in the original.
Well, yeah, but this is Kiss.
I don't know. I just think Kiss rocked it up more. But I can easily be talked out of taking that Ramones song in my top three. But I do like it, even though you hate it the most.
Yeah. Hated it.
But I guarantee you, my number one is a lot worse than yours.
All right.
It's a song from Smashes, Trashes, and Hits. It was a video, a god-awful video.
Oh, I'm going to say.
Where Paul crosses his arms and dances on the video. What's the name of the song, Danny?
Let's Put the X in Sex. Oh. So bad.
So corny.
Well, see, that and You Make Me Rock Hard, I just lumped those two together as my second worst because they're the same song and they're just horrible.
Yeah, the band looks ridiculous. Paul looks ridiculous in it. The lyrics are ridiculous. Oh, I hate that. I hated it from the minute I saw it. I'm like, I love you guys, but this is awful.
But what the hell is this? What are you doing?
And like the Killer songs, they're all Paul songs, sounded like they're written the same time. We know the two Smashes and Trashes songs, same time, same writers.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't ever want to hear that song again. It's not on any. It should be banned from Spotify. It's not on my phone. You can't. Oh, I can't take that song. I can't take the video. Ooh. So if you're a Kiss fan and you love those songs that we hated, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but not really sorry. No. Sorry, not sorry.
No.
Hey, we hate those songs. We get to. You love those, you get to. But you can be wrong, too, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Kiss, though, we are Kiss fans, but we're not like those nut swinger Kiss fans who love everything they do and agree with everything they say. No. Be an individual. If you like the song, great. I like 75% of the Kiss songs, but there's another 25% I could do without. So
yeah, and they do. They have put out some real shit.
Yes, they have.
And so we call it like we see it. I mean,
yeah.
I know the "Don't Touch My Ascot" was a joke, and ha-ha, that's funny. Yeah, okay. But
oh, and the other one I didn't include on there. They did a song with a Japanese J-pop band where Kiss plays the music. And the J-pop girls sing on it. I didn't include that one, but that's god-awful, too. Oof.
Oh, I can only imagine.
No, yeah, if you want to check it out, go ahead. But it's not. You hear it once. Ugh. It's not baby metal. I can take baby metal.
I enjoy baby metal, actually. That band is phenomenal.
Yeah, the band makes it. And
yeah.
Yeah, the little Japanese girls are cute, and it's kind of funny, and it works, but yeah. But the thing Kiss did was ugh, probably got paid a lot of money, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes our top three, bottom three of Kiss Extra Tracks.
There you go.
Hope you enjoyed it. We'll do it. We'll bring this bit back a little bit more. And we kind of shelved it for a while.
We've also done some in the past where we did top three, bottom three albums from a band's whole catalog. I like doing those, too.
Yeah, or like top three, bottom three Sammy songs from Van Halen. I don't know if we did that or top three Ross, bottom three Ross songs. I think we did David Lee Roth, top three, bottom three.
I think we did.
Don't know if we did it for Sammy. I think we did it for Sammy, too. I still hate Amsterdam. Ugh. So, yeah.
Wham, bam. Rolling Amsterdam.
No, can't. Love the music in the song. Can't stand those lyrics. Oof.
Yeah.
That's a bad chorus. Oof.
Yep. Yep. Really bad.
So, yeah.